The Eagles were off and running and running and running on Thursday night in the preseason win over the Carolina Panthers. And now the focus returns to Lincoln Financial Field as the fans show up to take a peek at the Chip Kelly Philadelphia Eagles. We welcome you to Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. Welcome you into the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. A fun day at Lincoln Financial Field today as the Eagles held their fourth of five public practice. Another nice crowd on hand to watch Chip Kelly, watch everything up tempo, get into the music. It's fun until the preseason is done, and then it gets serious. And then we see what this football team is all about. Got a great show for you today. We'll be joined a little later on by Adam Kaplan, and he and I will talk about an offense that once again goes over 400 yards in the preseason, that certainly showed some great promise in the victory over the Carolina Panthers in preseason game number two. I get a chance to talk with Ike Reese down on the field and get the former Eagles perspective now that he's in his media perch talking about this Eagles team. And Philadelphia happily welcoming back a couple of key players to practice. We've got that also, Chip Kelly's press conference, and he will be asked a lot about the quarterback situation. As the Eagles prepare for preseason game number three, how close is the head coach to naming a starter? Let's get you caught up on the headlines with Bo Wolf over at Lincoln Financial Field.
Lincoln Financial Field to give you your headlines for Inside Training Camp. And it begins with good news on the injury front. A few players returning to practice. Bryce Brown, Ed Wang, John Dorenbos, and most importantly, left tackle Jason Peters. We've seen what this offense can do through the first two preseason games, and they've done it without perhaps their best player in Jason Peters. He is now likely to return, barring any setbacks, for the third preseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. A couple guys who did not practice, though. Curtis Marshy has a fractured right hand, in addition to Emil Iguanagu, Danny Watkins, Felix Jones, Dennis Kelly, Casey Matthews, Kenny Phillips, and Philip Hunt. Those guys all did not practice. On the field, a couple depth chart risers. Earl Wolf working with the ones today. Julian Vandervelde working with the ones while Jason Kelsey gets a bit of a rest for his knee. He is now, it seems to be, in the lead for that backup center job. Bamiro gets a bump to the second team right tackle. The Eagles also made one roster move on Saturday, signing defensive end Eddie McClam, formerly of Old Dominion. He was undrafted last season. And Chip Kelly says the focus now turns to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can read his full comments on All Access for what he said after practice. And of course, stay tuned later on Inside Training Camp. Adam Kaplan gives his status report on the Eagles football team. Thanks, Dave.
All right, Bo Wolf, thank you very much for that. We've got Chip Kelly's press conference coming up. Stay tuned for that. Also, Adam Kaplan in studio, a conversation with Ike Reese, and a breakdown of this quarterback situation. Both Michael Vick and Nick Foles playing very well. Who wins the starting job? And we want to get some phone calls from the fans today. How do you feel about the Eagles after two preseason games? I'm Dave Spadaro. We return to Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity in just a moment.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
All the way.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread, ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut, just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here at the NovaCare Complex. Big week ahead for the Eagles, and really a long week. We've got, seems so many days to wait before the Eagles take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville on Saturday night. You can watch all that action, of course, on 6ABC locally. And then next Monday, the final open practice at Lincoln Financial Field, the 5th of 5. It's been a great success over there. The fans, again, showing up in large numbers and very enthusiastic numbers to watch the Eagles practice. Today's practice in shells, so there was no tackling once again, no full pads. But we get an idea of the tempo of practice and just how fast this Eagles team can move. And of course, the quarterback situation, everybody's got their eyes on it. When will Chip Kelly name a starter? Who will he name as the starter? He answers some of those questions, of course, today after practice over at Lincoln Financial Field.
Ready to name what? No, we're our whole plan going into this is we have 2 days today, Saturday and Sunday, where it's just base fundamentals. A lot of situation work, end of the game, end of the half scenarios. That'll go on again tomorrow. Then as a staff, we'll sit down on Monday because it's an off day for us and then put together what our plan is for the Jacksonville game. So,
how much are you starting to get into how you'll prepare for a regular season week?
It'll start on Tuesday for us. So, you know, as a staff, we're going to take Monday's an off day for the players, but it's not an off day for the coaching staff, you know, and we'll prepare for it that way. So we'll get a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in practice-wise, and then play the game on Saturday. So this will be closer to a game week for us. The other ones have been more of we're in training camp and then we have a game. You know, the fortunate thing for us when we practice with the Patriots is we didn't have to go over any of the Patriots' looks because we practiced with them for 3 days, so they showed us their looks. So it's and the same thing for them. So we did a little bit last week, but not much. We'll do more again this week, and that'll start for us on Tuesday. I announced it the same way, just like I talked about, before we put our game plan together to play those guys. So when we were getting ready and our game plan was getting ready to be in, you know, literally it was 7-8 days, whatever, we broke camp. So 7 or 8 days before the first game, you know, that we felt like that was ample enough time through spring practice. You know, we had 15 opportunities in the spring, and I think we had 22 opportunities before we named them. So we had 37 opportunities to watch those guys, and that was kind of the scenario for what we did at the college level. No, because we knew we had that much time, so it wasn't, again, it's not a rush. And that's the one thing I've learned from this. I don't think you want to rush anything. You want to take what you have available to you and then see how it plays itself out. So that's what we did when I was at Oregon. That doesn't mean that's what we're doing here. It's just back then, you didn't have any preseason games either at the college level. So the unfortunate thing for us, our quarterbacks never got hit. You know, so the first time Marcus Mariota ever got hit was when the opening game when he played against Arkansas State. The same thing for Darren Thomas. The first time he ever got hit was the opening game when we played New Mexico. We didn't have preseason games, so it was a little bit different than this.
Have you started to get more clarity elsewhere on the roster? Not even in terms of the starting lineup, but in terms of setting the depth chart?
Yeah. You know, that started to fall into play, and obviously we've had a lot of discussions about that. We have personnel meetings every 3 days where we sit down as a staff and start to talk things out and go through scenarios and things like that. But part of that is you're always, you know you're 2 weeks out or 3 weeks out from when the game is because, hey, I really like him. And then the next day you find out he's out. You know, we really like Jeremy Maclin as our ex receiver. You know, so sometimes it you always have to discuss it, but you also know that there's going to be things that arise that will change that whole picture. You know, and, you know, the receiver position is a prime example of it. You know, you went in feeling that was a position of depth with some players, you know, and then all of a sudden you lose Mac, you lose Regis, and you lose B.J. Cunningham. And now, you know, we fortunately had an opportunity to pick up a player in the trade. But now how quickly does Jeff get acclimated to what we are to see if he's in a position to compete, you know, for that, you know, 4, 5, 6 spots in terms of who we're going to keep. So we do talk about it all the time. But again, you got to factor in what happens on the practice field, because you're going to look up and say, geez, he's not with us. So now what do we do? You know, same thing happened at linebacker with Jason Phillips. And I know Coach Phipp was really counting on him from a special team standpoint, but now he's out. You know, so not only is it a linebacker spot when you lose someone like that, it's also a special team spot. So,
how has Jason Kelce performed in his first two preseason games, especially considering the fact that he's coming off a serious knee injury?
Yeah, good question. I think Jason's done a really, really good job. He's got a great grasp of what we're trying to do. He's a real student of the game. Gets everybody lined up front. He's a control of our line calls, you know, in terms of setting the blocking scheme based on what we called and then what they line up in. And it's really, you can tell the difference. You know, we started off because he wasn't participating in all the OTAs. He really didn't get snaps until we got to the mandatory minicamp in June. So, but there's a distinct difference when Jason's in the lineup and when Jason's not in the lineup. So I think he's done a really, really good job. And, you know, it's really, really pleased to have him back.
As well as Mike has played, he says he doesn't want to ever look at this, whether he's named the starting quarterback, not named the starting quarterback, look at like he has this situation. The guy who's been in the league for so many years and has done so many things, how much can that mentality help him with whatever happens this season?
I think tremendously. You know, I think no matter who you are, you know, that's the one thing when you look at the great ones, you marvel at Tom Brady. And when I got a chance to visit with Tommy, when he was here, he was talking about putting his work in and how much time. I think once you think you've arrived in this game, you're going to get passed on by. So, you know, just because somebody, and no matter what the situation is, whether it's quarterback, running back, offensive line, you become a starter, that doesn't mean all of a sudden you can kick your feet up and say, all right, now, you know, I'm all set. This is a good deal. You know, it's about getting better every day, and there's always something you can learn, you know, whether it's as a coach or as a player. So, you know, I think that mindset will really benefit Mike in the long run.
No,
I said that earlier. We got 2 days here. We got a lot of situation work in today, and this was all part of the plan. We're going to do a lot of situation work again tomorrow. You know, we wanted to see in the first two preseason games what we could have covered. You know, we got a four-minute drive at the end of the game. You know, so we got a – but it was with our threes, but we got a chance to work the clock. We got a two-minute drive, actually two-minute drives, actually, because we got the ball back with about 30 seconds. But, you know, Mike got us into a two-minute situation at the end of the game. And then now after the first two games, what scenarios do we need to continue to cover so that we're prepared as we go into the season? So that's what these 2 days are going to be about. It's fundamentals and a lot of game situations. So you saw us today with X amount of seconds on the clock, no timeouts, need a field goal, need this, need that. So we've got some tape to teach off of, and we put those guys in those situations. And then as a staff on Monday, our players are off, but we'll be in and, you know, kind of put together our thoughts on how we're going to attack the not only the rest of the week, but kind of try to simulate what a game week would be like for us, because we're going to play on Saturday. So those decisions in terms of rotations and things like that will be made Monday.
With regards to Mike and Nick, when you went back and watched the tape, what did you think of their decision-making process in terms of what they did?
I thought they did a nice job. You know, as I said, you know, after the game, as I think – both of them have really done a good job of grasping what we're asking them to do. You know, I'm sure Nick wants that one play back, but, you know, those things happen. You know, in both instances, in 2 weeks in a row, what you learn from Nick is he can bounce back from an adverse situation. So not that you ever want to be in one, but at least you kind of know how he'll be. So I think from a decision-making standpoint, both those guys have done a nice job.
Those two fumble snaps that Nick had, I mean, have you had a chance to talk to him? Did he take his eyes off
Yeah, I you know, I think he'll be the first to tell you. I think he just kind of, you know, had his eyes up trying to look at the coverage, and that's just a fundamental thing. You know, it's no different than a receiver. You know, we had one or two drops ourselves as receivers in that game, but it's something that you can't take for granted. We work on center quarterback exchange every single day, you know, and we'll continue to work on it. So,
do you have a pretty traditional view of the third preseason game where you'd like the starters to have three?
Yeah, in my history of preseason games in the NFL, got it down pat, so. Now, I've got a lot of guys on our staff that, you know, and that's one of the reasons we have, you know, the Pat Shermers and the Billy Davises and Ted Williams and Deuce and all those guys have been there. And as I said earlier, all of our plans on what we're going to do, we'll talk about them on Monday as a staff. So,
when you're on offense, you have the loud music playing over the loudspeakers. Is that an advantage?
When I'm on in practice? Yeah, they talked to me about that. I never noticed that. I didn't, you know, I don't know. They said that they can do that this year, and they were going to experiment with it during the preseason, and then we would tell them if it affected us. So, you know, We're pretty focused. I don't think it's as that loud on the field, but I don't know. It's more of a fan experience thing. That's not a us thing, so.
It's not a description that you gave, but I think Mike said it was no offense at this point in terms of what you're putting out there. Are you finding the defenses, or phenomenal defenses, so to speak, that they're not as complicated as they
will be? Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I think everybody's kind of – you're caught between how do you evaluate your players and then how do you, you know, put yourself in competitive situations. So I don't – you know, I don't think we've seen a ton of complicated things on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think we've done a lot of complicated things. And I think part of that is because – not because we're not trying to show things, but we want to make an evaluation of what our players can do and can't do. And I think, you know, when you try to – sometimes you complicate it too much, you know, they're not allowed to play and show their true ability because you got them thinking too much. So, you know, I think that's part of what our process has been. Let's go out and play, you know, and see what they can do when we put them in situations. So.
The injuries to Peters and Kelly gave you a chance to get a pretty good look at Allen Barbary.
Yeah.
I was curious what your impressions are of him after the first two preseason games.
I think Allen's done a really nice job, and I think that really when Dennis went down, that was a big question for all of us was, do we have another tackle? You know, we felt like obviously with Lane and Jason, we got two pretty good ones. But if those guys were to be out, who would be the next tackle? And I think Allen, to us, has really solidified his situation with us from a depth standpoint. Because I think now we knew he could play guard, you know, but now to have a guy that's a guard tackle guy, and I think, you know, sometimes you got seven guys active on game day, you're going to have somebody that's got some versatility. And I think that's what we learned from him. I thought he's done a nice job. And especially considering the circumstances, just kind of threw him out there. It wasn't like he had been taking a ton of reps. And in fact, he had taken no reps at tackle in practice or during the spring. So been a real pleasant surprise, real tough guy, real hard worker. So it helps us with our depth up front.
Coach, you don't want to name a quarterback, obviously, right now. But
I'd love to name a quarterback right now.
So what a guy is needed to going forward to still stand out in your mind? What are you still looking for?
They need to continue to play at a high level, and I think when you continue to put them in different situations, that gets a chance to express itself. So.
But is the picture becoming clearer for you at this point?
I don't think we haven't thought of it that way. You know, I think we're going through the process, you know, and we know we've got a little bit of time here, so we'll go through the process and look at how it's going to express itself. Get back, watch the tape today, put a lot of new situations in today, put some new things in today, how they handle that, so.
After Thursday's performance, what are your thoughts on the transition defensive-wise as you guys are shifting over to more of the 3-4 look?
They were better, you know, and I think it's understandable when you go from such an extreme. You know, it was the first game was their first opportunity in a game-like situations. You know, at times when you practice in preseason, it's very handcuffed, especially defensively. You know, and I think that's the nature of how we do things. So it was good to see those guys in game two. You could see a lot of guys, you know, not pressing the issue, not, you know, just understanding what their role is, where they fit, what gap they're supposed to be in, where we're trying to spill the ball in the run game, you know, who has the right, you know, the right rush lanes in the, you know, when we're getting after the quarterback, where we are from a coverage standpoint. So I think collectively we saw them settle down a little bit and just, you know, show some of their real ability that we think they can play with. So it was good for us to, you know, to get that second one under the belt, especially after the bad taste that the first game left in our mouths. So,
hey, Chip, besides the situations you talk about with the quarterbacks, what else do you really need to know before you make that decision in terms of other variables, leadership, knowledge of the playbook?
All of those. There's not, you know, and I've said it since day one, I can't give you a soundbite of 1 second that's going to tell you this is what we're looking for. There's so many different factors that go into it. Leadership, play selection, ability to face adversity and bounce back, ability to stand in there versus a rush, you know, ability to move the team no matter who's in there. You know, there's so many different factors that go into it. I don't think it's a one sentence answer. So,
do you like the environment right now where it's still a question hanging out there going into the third preseason game? Is that good for the program?
I don't think of it that way. So, that's just what the situation is. So,
okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And that is head coach Chip Kelly. Again, no decision made on the quarterback. Glad to see, among others, Jason Peters, Bryce Brown back at practice today. When we return, we go inside the huddle. Take a look at the pocket. Our Inside the Pocket feature breaks down Michael Vick, Nick Foles, and Matt Barkley. Coming right back on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity.
Hey. The ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Goes Vic. He dumps it off to McCoy, makes a man miss, comes to the 10, the 5, touchdown! Shady McCoy!
Hi, I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, time to take a look at the quarterback position in the pocket. We go to this every now and then, and I think some people might be kind of interested in the quarterbacks. Let's take a look at all three of them, beginning, of course, with the rookie, fourth-round draft pick Matt Barkley from USC. Coming along, certainly doesn't seem to be a candidate to be a starter, but Matt Barkley playing pretty well the other night, 8 of 14, 72 yards. But it was Vic and Foles that everyone was focused on. Michael Vick, 9 of 10, and that was a 9 of 9 until a last-second Hail Mary throw down the field. Led the offense, really, really effective in the hurry-up. Ran the ball well. Michael Vick, another outstanding effort. Nick Foles, 6 of 8, 53 yards. The big interception in the end zone, killing the Eagles' first drive, but then he came back with a rushing touchdown around the left side. Let's get to what head coach Chip Kelly had to say after Thursday's game as we look at this 3-1 with Matt Barkley.
Those guys, and I thought Matt Barkley did a nice job when he was in there. So I thought Matt makes very quick decisions, you know, and I think the ball's out, and he did a really good job again moving the football team. I think sometimes it's tough to evaluate the quarterback when it's not his fault that we line up in an illegal formation or someone's jumping off sides and putting us behind in the count, but I thought again Matt moved us, throws an accurate ball, throws a catchable ball, and he's a really good decision maker.
Now Nick Foles got the start on Thursday. We don't know who's going to start Saturday in Jacksonville. Foles playing very well, looking like he's comfortable with this offensive scheme. Had some problems twice with the shotgun snap, and of course that interception in the end zone just can't happen, and Foles trying to throw that football away. Here is Coach Kelly on Nick Foles.
I just think it's good decisions. Just take what the defense gives you. You know, they played off a little bit. Obviously, I think Mike did the same thing. They were playing off of Deshaun, so, you know, you got to throw the ball underneath at times. But I think both those guys are not forcing it, and that's a good thing. I think if they can let it come to them, and we tell them all the time, you don't have to make it happen, you have to let it happen. So let it develop, and if they're going to let you throw it down, I think we got some guys that can run after the catch. So, you know, we can keep, if instead of being a one-play drive for a touchdown, that ends up being an eight-play drive for a touchdown, as long as we continue to drive the football. So it's playing quarterbacks about making good decisions, and I was, with the exception of the throwaway, I think he made a good decision. He just couldn't execute it, but I thought both those guys made good decisions tonight.
That time will come. I mean, I feel like we moved the ball, and the most important thing is, you know, moving the ball downfield and putting it in the end zone. And the two times we didn't, you know, I fumbled one and had the interception. So, you know, I feel like, you know, whatever it takes to put the ball in the end zone, no matter if it's short, intermediate, or long passes, that's what, you know, we're going to do. And, you know, the time will come to launch one out there.
I think Nick does a great job of taking what the defense gives him, and he's a really good decision maker and doesn't force it. You know, just to stand back there and show everybody you can throw the ball 70 yards doesn't mean you're a good quarterback. It's about completing the ball, and can you take your team and drive them down the field and put them in the end zone? And I think Nick's proven that he can do that. So,
in two preseason games, Michael Vick has looked almost perfect. He looks comfortable with the scheme, very engaged in the up-tempo approach, and at peace with everything that Chip Kelly wants him to do. We take a look inside the pocket here at Michael Vick. Could he be the starter in Jacksonville and then a couple of weeks later against the Washington Redskins?
Mike Vick?
Yes.
Very accurate and ran real well. It was 8 for 8 until he threw the the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. So I thought Mike was, again, in 2 weeks in a row, I thought he's made very, very good decisions. I think he can put the ball on people. And obviously he's a weapon when he takes off and runs. So.
I feel in rhythm all the time. I feel in rhythm when I'm in practice. Just the flow of the way we prepare just have me in a position where I feel like I can do it all. And, that's a good thing, but I don't want to get too overconfident. I want to remain humble and continue to have the same work ethic that has put me in a position to feel like, this team can go places and I can do it with them. So I'm just trying to, stay in that flow and, continue to prepare and keep doing the things that's, helping us succeed.
We're going to make the decision, but I mean, I think they're doing a great job of making it difficult because they're both playing at a high level right now. So I look at that as a positive. I think we got two guys that can play football in this league. So, but we're going to have to make a decision. I mean, we're not just going to sit there and rotate them on every play. So, we'll see. You have no idea. One of them may sprain the ankle walking out of the parking lot. No. Then the decision's made. So I don't know, but I think it's a good situation the way both those guys are playing right now. I think they can move our offense, and that pleases everybody. So
of course, still no decision made on who the quarterback will be on Saturday night. The intrigue, the suspense, the anticipation, it's all getting to us. When we return, we'll talk about the quarterbacks and the offense through two games of this preseason. Adam Kaplan and I break down the first four Eagles offensive drives from Thursday night. Take a look inside an offense that offers oh so much potential. I'm Dave Spadaro. We're coming right back on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
What's up, Eagle fans? This is Ricky Waters, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Dave Spadaro joined by our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. We want to talk a little bit about the Eagles offense and particularly how it looked on Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. Before we look at those first four drives, Adam, in general, your impressions of the Eagles offense and then the Eagles in general through two games.
I think offensively, Dave, they have to feel very, very good as a coaching staff, as a personnel staff, and as players. The execution on offense has been well ahead of where I thought it would be, but you and I have been in practices. We've seen the steady progression since OTAs and minicamps, and now where they are, you have to feel like they've got two quarterbacks, and it's rare. I don't think I've ever said this, where you have two quarterbacks capable of running the offense efficiently. Usually the backup, whoever that may be, isn't very good or is just an average quarterback. But I have to tell you, and I feel strongly about this, either quarterback, Michael Vick or Nick Foles, they're capable of running this offense very, very well, and I think they could win with them.
Which is why Chip says that this team has, two quarterbacks. Usually when you hear a team has two quarterbacks, that means they don't have one. But in this case, he really believes that they have two quarterbacks who can win. All right, let's go back to Thursday night and talk about Nick Foles first. He gets the start, his first start in the preseason, a 12-play drive that starts deep in Eagles territory. And Adam, he really showed some things on the drive, dumping the football, moving around a little bit, breaking the pocket, keeping plays alive. Looked good.
Yeah, I was impressed with his just ability to just kind of move the ball downfield, take the chunks, 10, 15, 20 yards. You're disappointed in the interception, but you see that he could run the offense efficiently in a game situation, not just practice. Because now the final way that you evaluate players, not just quarterbacks, is games. The games are way more important than practice, and I thought he did a good job again, except for trying to throw the ball away. He needs to throw a little bit higher, but next time he'll learn.
We have not seen Nick Foles really throw the football down the field
yet.
Mm-hmm. Does that hold him back? Does that make him not as proficient, perhaps, as Michael Vick through these first two preseason games?
No, but they know in practice what
to this offense. When you look at this whole thing, offensive line worked well. The
offensive line was terrific, Dave. And also, you mentioned Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz got open, and that was the key, is that you saw him run that route over the middle, and Foles was able to throw it on time. So they have to feel pretty good about that. And then the offensive line, it was funny, I was going to ask Vic this in the post-game press conference. No one talked about the offensive line. How good has the offensive line been in the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's
pretty
fantastic.
Good. Yeah.
So then Foles gets down to the red zone, makes this critical mistake. Adam, he can't ever do that again, right?
He can, but I know what he was trying to do. He knew that the pocket was breaking down. In fact, he talked about this. He was trying to throw it away, but you can't just throw it in the middle. If you're going to throw it in the middle, it's got to be almost into the stands. And it's not a rookie mistake. He's been in the league now in his second year, but he gets it. He knows it.
How do you think Foles is handling the tempo of the offense, everything lining up quickly, getting the plays in, and getting the play off?
Actually, very good. In fact, both quarterbacks are very good in the hurry up. I think Foles has been very, very good, and he plays with a clock in his head, which is very important.
Yeah. Now, the fumbled snaps, just taking your eye off the football?
He said that's something he has. In fact, that's the question that I asked him. He said he just has to concentrate better on paying attention where the ball's being snapped. And they did work on that in practice late this week, so that's a good thing. And you know, sometimes you think the ball's too slick or something. It's kind of odd, but that's three fumbles in two games. You can't have that.
And here's the play. Throws, sees some pressure in his face, really wanted to heave it out of the end zone behind DeSean Jackson there. Just a mistake that you can't make,
no
Adam.
No chance. He turned his body. You can't do that.
And you wonder how much will that cost him, as Chip Kelly says, who's going to be my starter in Washington?
Three fumbles in two games, two turnovers, one interception. You call it a bad one. Well, again, he was trying to throw the ball away. It was clear, but he has to know better. If you have a turned body, there's zero chance that ball will be completed, so he's got to do a better job.
All right, so Foles makes that mistake, comes back, wants to atone for the mistake. Eagles get the football back after a good defensive hold. And Foles, under pressure here, makes the throw, gets rid of it, but a breakdown there. Comes right back and...
I love that. You know,
a little
funny
throwback play.
They've practiced this many, many times.
It's covered.
It's covered. So yeah. What could he do? But this is something that they have in their arsenal.
And so here he is, dropping back third and four. Or I'm sorry, handing off for Chris Polk, who gets the first down.
That was actually Shady.
Oh, that was Shady. Okay, LeSean
McCoy.
What
a great game.
Yeah,
dude.
Makes awesome. A guy miss there. Not just a guy, but Luke Kuechly.
Which is, he might be the best middle linebacker in the National Football League. That was a great move by McCoy, who did not look rusty at all from sitting out a while.
First and 10, here's the LeSean McCoy run. There's just one move, two moves, three moves. cuts to the sideline here and gets the ball inside the 10-yard line.
To
when
see
you
that
have
live,
a running
though,
back.
Dave, to see that live, our mouth drop. Usually you don't hear a lot of oohs and ahs in the press box, Dave. You heard a lot of them.
And when you have a running back like LeSean McCoy.
Special player, no question.
Chris Polk coming on, Bryce Brown coming on.
Eagles could potentially have the NFL's best running game. Felix Jones can't even get in the field.
And then here it is, the touchdown run from Nick Foles. Drops back, looks, nobody there.
Good block outside, from Riley Cooper. How about that?
And so we see Nick Foles as he is a little bit mobile. Great Nick Foles then through two games.
Good, not great. I think he could be a little bit more sharper. But the thing that I like is, and he talked about this, he's lost some weight. He's gotten into better shape. He's actually a little faster.
Yeah. So that those two drives lead to 7 points. And now it's Michael Vick's turn on Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. Now, we didn't see Vick in the no huddle in the first preseason game. We certainly saw it here. And Eagles come out running the football. And they ran the football extremely effectively against the Panthers.
And the thing that you notice, the foundation of this offense is no longer the passing game. It is the running game. And you saw them out of the shotgun spread, out of single back. And it worked for the most part very, very well. I thought they have to feel pretty good not only about their tempo, but everyone they went in there. This is a great run, but he fumbled it.
Yeah.
Really good run up the middle by Chris Polk. Lost a lot of weight.
Later in the drive, he fumbles it. The Eagles do.
Same run, though, almost.
Right. Yeah. And the Eagles do move the football here. A 3rd and 12 play. Vick back, drops rock, good pocket.
How about that? He looked right, Dave, and left.
Right, and a nice throw again to Jason Avon, who we all know, one of the very best third down receivers in the league. Look at this protection, Adam.
All year, he had 5 seconds, and I love how he looked right. He threw left, anticipation throw, a little bit of anticipation, which he's getting better at, which is very, very important this offense.
And Alan Barbary doing a nice job there. A nice throw there to Avant, gets the ball, again, up the field. Vick looking on target. I'm sorry, Iguanagu,
yeah.
Right. And took a big hit there, but again, establishing the middle of the field. So the Eagles in Jacksonville territory, Chris Polk here fumbles the football, and another drive, another opportunity. And I know Chip Kelly not happy about that.
Yeah, these turnovers, and we know for the last 2 years, 75 turnovers in 32 games, you can't have that. But they know protection's got to be better. He got a pretty good pop there. The ball security is a thing, because remember, Dave, they want to keep this ball, and they got to be able to do it to run this offense.
Yeah. So Michael Vick gets the football back, his 2nd drive of the game. The fans at Lincoln Financial Field looking for something great to happen, and something great does. DeSean Jackson given a big cushion over there, Adam. I think people understanding that DeSean in this offense, really, really potent, again, comes back to it, gets the ball across midfield. You can, once you establish DeSean deep, he's got a huge cushion.
Yeah, and there's some option routes in this offense, and they're talking to two of the receivers and tight end. So when you have that, once he starts getting the short stuff and they stack the box, then you throw the long stuff. And that's something that we'll see. We also saw that in the first game. And good scramble by here. See Vic's eyes down the field?
Yeah.
That's outstanding by Vic. He's got a really comfortable day.
Yeah. Sidesteps some pressure up the middle. Yeah. Throws to Riley Cooper, who comes back to the ball on the scramble drill.
He's been great since he's been back. We should mention that, Dave. He's done a great job.
Eagles now in scoring position. And Michael Vick making it happen here. First, a short gain to LeSean McCoy to the 21-yard line. Sets up a 2nd and 7. Play action. We see that in practice. Michael rolling to his left. Sees a big hole. Gets inside the 10-yard line.
Does get down.
You'd like to see him.
A little bit earlier.
Yeah. Make it a little safe. But you see how the field opens up here, Adam.
Now, I would tell you, he had his hot receiver earlier in the route, and he didn't throw it to him. Then he ran. That's fine. Right. That's what Chip wants. Remember,
James Casey over the middle.
Chip's been very clear about that. If you don't see it, run.
And then here we go. Vic again, the play action. Rolls to the right side. Gets it down to the 1-yard line and sets up who else? Number 25, LeSean McCoy.
Look at the cut.
The easy touchdown for McCoy.
Say easy? I don't know about that, my friend.
2 drives for Foles, 2 drives for Vic. Who played better on Thursday night, Adam?
Vic was better. I mean, there's no question about it. Foles was not bad, but Vic has been better. It's been 3 weeks now in my count. It's been exactly 3 weeks that Vic has taken over, the starting job.
So in your mind, number 7 is the starter?
Barring an unforeseen circumstance, like Vic just doesn't play well in the 3rd preseason game. So the bottom line is, Vic to me, as of now, is the starter. You've been asking me this periodically throughout the offseason. I think it's all about taking over, feeling confident. This is the most confident I've seen Michael Vick in 4 years here. I have to be honest about it.
Adam Kaplan, we're talking quarterbacks here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insight, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step 1, work the Saturday shift. Step 2, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step 3, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
Well, the Eagles are certainly the talk of many in many circles in the NFL. The up-tempo offense, the defense that showed great improvement on Thursday night, had a chance over at practice today to catch up with Ike Reese, former Eagles linebacker and one of the hosts at 94 WIP Sports Radio, our partners. We love them. And Ike Reese excited about what he's seeing from his Philadelphia Eagles. Ike, where do you think this team is after two games?
I think they're still trying to form an identity. Offensively, you can obviously see they're a little ahead of the defensive side of the football. They're closer to their identity than the defensive side of the ball is. But special teams and offense, I think they're right there. I think they were better this past game than they were the first game. And that's the key. When you're a young team that's trying to build a foundation and establish something, you got to get better each week. And I think they got better from the first game to the second game.
Identity on offense, how would you describe it?
Well, chaos, controlled chaos, diversity, creative, fast pace, hard to stop. I mean, when you look at some of the formations, and I'm pretty sure Chip hasn't even gotten that far into the book as far as what he's going to do in the regular season, you can tell that the defense is out there in a sort of a robotic form as opposed to playing instinctually, because they're seeing offensive formations that they just aren't accustomed to seeing. And it's going to be exciting to watch it this year. It really is.
Quarterback has not yet been named, no decision made. Your view of how the quarterback battle has been going?
I think it's been going fantastic. I think Chip is getting out of it exactly what he was looking for, which is to raise the level of play at that position. Nick Foles looked like he's much better than he was last year. Looks calm, cool, collective in the pocket. He's running this offense. I wasn't sure if he would be able to run this offense. He's shown that he's very capable of doing that without any problems. And Michael Vick, because of the way Nick Foles has played and pushed him, has taken his game to another level. He looks much more like the Michael Vick from 2010, decisive, confident, calm in the pocket, and making plays. But I'll tell you what, most people wouldn't want to be in Chip's position, having to choose one of these guys. But I think he's right when he says he's in a great position if both of these guys are playing well. Because if something unfortunately were to happen to whoever's named the starter, I think we all can feel confident in the second guy coming in and filling those shoes. And that's a great feeling to have.
When you're part of a team, game three is very critical, both for players on the bubble trying to make the team and preparing the starters for game one of the regular season. So how do you look at Jacksonville on Saturday?
I think it's a very important game. I would imagine Gus Bradley will do a little bit more game planning because he has to get his guys ready down there. So this will be the true test for the offense. The offense hasn't seen a lot of pressure packages. Michael nor Nick have seen a lot of pressure packages from the defense. I wouldn't be surprised if Gus Bradley wanted to do a little bit more of that. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Davis and Chip Kelly put a little bit more into this game plan to get their guys ready for the first week of the season. I expect this to be the most competitive game we've seen so far this preseason, and I expect the best to come out of these guys.
Thanks, Ike.
No problem, Spuds. Anytime, brother.
Oh, thank you, Ike Reese. We invite your phone calls. 215-320-5170. 215-320-5170. Before we get to your phone calls, get a reaction of where you think this team is after two preseason games. We want you to take a look at some practice today. A little 3-on-2, three defensive backs and two receivers for the offense from the field at Lincoln Financial Field. Chris McPherson brings you play-by-play.
All right, it is the fourth open practice at Lincoln Financial Field. Bo Wolf and Chris McPherson here taking a look at the 3-on-2s on a beautiful Saturday afternoon as we see Michael Vick about to take the snap here. looks and goes short, and a nice catch from Jason Vaughn. Good coverage from Jamar Chaney, but we've seen this over the last however many years. If you throw it anywhere near Jason, he's going to catch it.
Certainly that's the case. He's playing great hands, great job working the middle of the field, tremendous chemistry with Michael Vick through the early part of the preseason.
Dennis Dixon under center now. We got Will Murphy and Bryce Brown on the routes, and he connects on the slant to Will Murphy. Now it's G.J. Kinney's turn. Fires it wide and connects to Zach Ertz, who's had an impressive camp thus far.
Great job, especially working the outside of the field. Very versatile in this offense.
Matt Barkley now looking deep down the seam to Demaris Johnson. Good coverage from Nate Allen and Emmanuel Acho, who's making a bit of a push himself. He had a good game on Thursday night against the Panthers.
Certainly is an experienced guy, came from Texas, was on injured reserve last season, but trying to make his way, trying to get one of those inside linebacker spots, one of the underrated position battles here on the Eagles roster.
Good read there from Chris McCoy, but Foles is able to connect to Matthew Tucker. Now we got Dennis Dixon looking to take the snap, DeSean Jackson on the outside, and Jason Avant in the slot. So a good set of receivers here for Dixon. Let's see what he can do. Oh, we go back to this side, and it's Michael Vick. Good coverage from Chaney again, and James Casey unable to haul it in. Now let's take a look at that other side. Dixon finds Jason Avant.
Yeah, once again, Jason Avant just doing a superb job working the middle of the field. Just a lot of comfort there. You know, the amount of third down receptions that he has produced for his Eagles offense over the years, and great anticipation and throw there by G.A. Kinney getting the ball to Will Murphy on the outside as we continue this drill.
Boyer in coverage over there. A catch now there by, is that Jeff Mail? No, it's Greg Salas who makes the catch there. Now let's take a look at Dennis Dixon. Looking deep, goes deep to Jeff Mail, the mailman. Oh, a beautiful catch, but I do not think he was able to get both feet in bounds. Good coverage from Poyer.
Yeah, great grab there, good athleticism, but not able to get that second foot in. Greg Salas making the catch back on the right side of the field down the seam.
The mailman looking to make a push here. Of course, the most productive receiver that Chip Kelly had at Oregon during his time, his only 1,000-yard receiver, is Riley Cooper makes the reception there. Kinney now fires it wide, and a pretty good catch there. Is that Clay Harbor on the outside at wide receiver?
Yeah, Clay Harbor making the transition, very athletic, very versatile, able to pick up the scheme very quickly. It was interesting to see the Eagles utilize essentially four tight ends on the field during the game Thursday night against the Panthers.
It's all about dictating terms to the defense when those guys are on the field. As we see Dennis Dixon now, he finds Bryce Brown. Bryce Brown's had his troubles catching the ball occasionally during training camp, but it's been better of late.
Yeah, certainly it's one thing you just work on throughout the course of camp to see who's going to progress, who's going to develop, and that's one of the things that, you know, you're out here each and every day, everyone's criticizing every single move the players make. You know, this is the time where you got to make your mistakes so that when game time comes, you're able to proceed and perform.
Simultaneous action there as Nick Foles finds Demaris Johnson. We got Vick and Kinney under center now. Vick takes the snap. Avant Moma on the outside, and he finds Avant again.
Yes, once again, you see the, oh, here we go, deep down the sideline. Kinney for Shepard Poyer, good coverage. Shepard not able to get position there to make the catch.
Jordan Poyer tested deep a couple times and does a pretty good job down the sideline, the seventh round pick at Oregon State. So that does it for 3-on-2s for Chris McPherson. I'm Bo Wolf from the open practice at Lincoln Financial Field.
215-320-5170, the telephone number. Will start in New Jersey and talk to Shake, who joins us on Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. Shake, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Dave, I just want to talk about Michael Kendricks and his performance in the second game in the preseason.
Outstanding.
And all the tight ends that we have. You think we could, have some, no-huddle packages where we don't sub in any wide receivers at all? And, Dave, I just wanted to congratulate you. I don't know if you did this last year, but it was great to see you on the sideline in the game.
Thank you. I didn't do it last year, but thank you. Shay, thanks for the call. First, let's talk about Michael Kendricks. There is certainly an interest, I think, that Bill Davis has, defensive coordinator, in making Kendricks more a part of the behind-the-line-of-scrimmage defense. Let's see what his package involves here in terms of blitzing, coverage. I mean, in this kind of 3-4 zone or defense, you do blitz your inside linebackers a bit. So I think they do want to take advantage of Kendricks blitzing. I never understood last year why the Eagles didn't ask Michael Kendricks to blitz. I thought when he did it those few occasions in training camp and preseason, he got into the backfield. So I think the more you can do with Michael Kendricks, the better. Now, as far as the tight end position goes, obviously Celek and Ertz and Casey will make this football team. What about Clay Harbor? What about Derek Carrier? Will the Eagles keep Emile Iguanagu? Will the Eagles go four tight ends? Are there packages that they can use four tight ends and not have to sub out and not have to worry anything about substituting, and they can keep this up-tempo thing going? Very possible Clay Harbor having a very good summer. We'll see what happens when they get down to 53. First cuts come after preseason game number 3. Let's go to Hawaii and talk to John. John joins us on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. John, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
I just have a question about the quarterbacks.
Okay.
Because I think Mikey Vick will probably start.
Okay.
But I'm kind of worried through the whole season if he can last. So are we going to have to rely on Nick Foles anyway?
Well, I mean, that's kind of part of the idea of getting all these quarterbacks a lot of reps in case there is an injury. You know, you've got a good quality backup quarterback or backup any position player. So I think, look, John, I think Chip really means it when he says they have two. He believes they have two quarterbacks who can win right now, and then they believe in Matt Barkley a lot and think that he is on the come. So, what have you seen from the quarterbacks, John?
But they both look sharp. I think Mike maybe is a little better because he's a little quicker. But I kind of want to see Barkley next year, though. No matter what happens this year, I'd like to see Barkley start next
year. Well, next year, you mean?
Yeah, like next season.
Yeah.
This season, you learn it. You can learn the offense.
Yeah.
Then jump in next season.
Well, thank you for the call, John. I appreciate it. It's hard for me to – I can't look at next year yet. There's so much going on right now that I want to find out who the quarterback's going to be in Jacksonville, starter. How much will he play Foles and Vic? Will Barkley get a play? Will all five quarterbacks play again? Even, you talk about Dennis Dixon here, all right? We won't mention him. He's getting a lot of reps. Maybe he fits in down the line here, a developmental player in some capacity. And G.J. Kinney's gotten some mop-up time at the end, but has made the most of his limited opportunities. So the coaching staff doing a great job getting everyone involved, lots of reps, lots of opportunities to get on the field. So next year can wait. I want to see this weekend, and then I want to see the final preseason game, and then see who starts in Washington at Landover, Maryland, FedEx Field on that Monday night football game against the Redskins. Final call of the day here. Kyle in Pennsylvania joins us on Inside Training Camp presented by Xfinity. Kyle, welcome to the show. Hello, Kyle. No Kyle. All right, thank you all for calling, and we're going to take a little break right now. When we return, we go across the street to Lincoln Financial Field. Jason Peters, back on the practice field. He talks to the media, as well as Michael Vick. Is he the starting quarterback? How does he feel about the situation? All of that coming your way on Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity.
Hey, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm just in love with the flavor.
I get mine black. I don't want to take away from that pure taste.
So smooth. No bitterness. It's awesome.
There's no other taste like it.
America runs on Dunkin' coffee.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
Chances are, you're not made of money. So don't overpay for motorcycle insurance. Geico. See how much you could save.
Hey, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
I'm just in love with the flavor.
I get mine black. I don't want to take away from that pure taste.
So smooth. No bitterness. It's awesome.
There's no other taste like it.
America runs on Dunkin' coffee.
Hey, Eagles fans, I'm Irving Fryer, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, we welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here. Let's go to Jason Peters, who's missed both of the preseason games, but he's back on the practice field today in the left tackle, feeling great.
I'm 100%. It's preseason, and I just want to get some work in before the regular season, and I'm back this week.
Coming back here, how special do you think this offense can be? Mike has looked really good. Same with Nick.
Man, hey, we're going to be explosive this year. Both quarterbacks look good. It's going to be a hard decision for Chip. I wouldn't want to be him, for the season over.
What's it been like for you watching this offense with Asher and just thinking what it can be even with you on the field?
Man, it was exciting seeing the offense move the ball like they did the other night. I mean, it's real exciting just to get out there. We're scoring points. We left about 30 points out there on the field, but, I'm excited about the offense.
Do you think it'll be important for you to play in at least one preseason game before the regular season?
Yeah, I'm suiting up this week. I'm going to get out there and get me some good work in against Jacksonville and get ready for Washington.
It's going to be tough to get into, I don't say you're not in game shape, but because of the fast-paced offense and stuff, it's going to be hard to catch up and keep
up. We're in training camp. I'm working every day. That's what training camp for, to get in the game shape.
Did you kind of take a little bit of extra time this time when you re-injured the hamstring to make sure it was 100%?
Yeah, I was trying to make sure it was right,
So you probably could have played like...
Yeah, I could have played last week, but I'm just trying to make sure. I don't want to re-injure it then go into the season with it tweaked up. So I'm 100% ready to go.
I know you're ready to go, but what will it mean just after the long wait last season to be able to finally step on the field for a game?
Man, I'm going to be excited. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to try to keep myself calm against Jacksonville and get me some good work in.
With all the, the formations we saw, four tight ends, have you lobbied Chip to maybe get some action as a pass catcher?
No.
Back to your roots?
I'm an old lineman. I'm just going to block for Nick or Mike, whoever back there.
All right.
Jason Peters, when he's on the field, just absolutely dominant, looks great, athletic. It's going to be great to have him back on the football field. Imagine Peters at left tackle, Lane Johnson at right tackle, and Lane Johnson just getting great reviews for his two preseason performances. All right, quarterback Michael Vick, the subject of much conversation. His two preseason games have gone very well. How does he feel about the quarterback situation?
This is the moment. That's it.
Mike, you got like the majority of the snaps in. Out there. I mean, have you been told anything as to your status at all?
Nah, I mean, we alternate. We go ones and twos, and I go with the ones, and Nick go with the ones, and I go with the twos, and Nick go with the twos. So, it regardless of, where you take the snaps or, who you out there with, I approach each and every snap like that's my unit out there. So I don't care about the position I'm in. I just care about helping this football team win.
A lot more ones today, though.
I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice. I'm so used to, going in back and forth ones and twos that, I'm used to it, and I don't look at it any different, So just got to keep working hard, man.
Could you have played any better in the first game?
I don't think so. I don't think I could have played any better than what I played. I'm trying to think about all the things that I did and just trying to, keep that going. I know every game is not going to be perfect. It's not going to be the way they were. But, if I can, stay in my routine, then I think, it'll be very similar. So it's more so, credit to the offense, man, and the plays that's coming in, how they've been called, and what we do. And, I'm just thankful that I'm a part of this.
As impressive as the offense has been through the first two games, what's the next level when you get Jason Peters back?
I think our offense, we, even though you guys may not have seen it, we still made a good share of mistakes that definitely needs to be corrected by the time we start the regular season. And, good thing is we got time. We got a big game this week against Jacksonville, and, we haven't gotten that far. We're taking these next 2 days of training camp seriously and trying to get better at some things that we just put into the offense. But, it's all about getting Jason back and getting him going and, keeping everything in order.
What does he bring when he's healthy?
Oh, man, he's a dynamite player. The left side, is almost well taken care of. Even though, guys have been doing a great job of holding it down over there, JP is a different animal.
Mike, I think this is your fifth offensive system that you've had to learn in 11 years. Just talk about how you've been able to do that.
Learning different systems, it helps you, as your career goes on. And, You know, over the course of the last 3 years, I've learned so much, you know, from Andy and Marty. And you know, we did almost everything, you know. Every offensive concept you can think of, we probably had it in at some point. And, you know, I credit, you know, Andy and Marty for, you know, helping me become, you know, a passer, helping me to become the quarterback that can, you know, understand the game, you know, at the times of need. And, you know, they taught me so much, man. It almost helped me. But, you know, over the years, I've learned so much in different offenses, man, and it helps me now.
Mike, what is it about this offense that is so comfortable for you? Why are you so comfortable in this system versus so many others?
You know, I think Coach Kelly he simplifies it for us. It can be complicated at times, but I think he knows what each individual player, you know, understands and likes. And, you know, my game plan to be different from Nick's and be different from Max, you know, and theirs vice versa from mine. So I think in that regard, him, you know, doing it with a sense of understanding what's best for us helps this team.
How is your game?
All right, that is quarterback Michael Vick. Today's practice over Lincoln Financial Field, the fourth of five public open practices, free of charge to Eagles fans. A good crowd on hand today, right around 20,000 fans. And today was the Health and Safety Day presented by Teva Pharmaceuticals, a great partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. And among those invited guests, a group of first responders who were honored prior to practice on the field. Certainly heroes who are here to make everyone safe. And they are courageous men and women. And we thank them for their great service to our public welfare. I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us here today on Inside Training Camp, presented by Xfinity. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And tonight, we've got the Eagles update for you as well. So thank you for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.